Good evening, and welcome to this episode of Full Press Raiders Podcast. My host, Terrence Biggs. With me always is the co-host, the man of the hour, author, writer, compiler of great draft content, and the first person who knew how bad the Le'Veon Bell mixtape was, my man Malik Obi. Obi, what's good?
What's up, T? Everything's good. Just another week. Raiders are on a bye week, but they're coming out of one of their biggest upsets in a long time, and we're going to get into it.
I can't remember an upset that, I mean, a game that meant this much in the regular season. Like, it's been a while. Like, it was, when you, let's just start here. When you start watching the game first 5 minutes and you saw what was going to happen with the scoring, what went through your mind?
It started off looking like the same old, you know, same old Raiders versus Chiefs and Arrowhead. I mean, it looked really bad first quarter. They looked really flat, bad turnovers, bad defense, and then just everything changed.
Now, early on, you see, you know, Patrick Mahomes kind of get to the outside, and I was worried that Paul Gunther's defense was going to cave in. While it didn't cave in, the scheme was different in the second half. Now, I want to stick with the first half for a second. Can we talk about Derek Carr? Now, we have, I mean, I'm not going to ever speak for you because you're a grown man, but for me, I criticized Carr for that lack of killer instinct, the ability to take shots downfield and being aggressive. This game shows why people get frustrated with him because of the fact that the talent is there to do this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Derek Carr didn't show anything that we haven't seen glimpses of in the past. It's just the fact of where he did it, him being able to, you know, stand, you know, in the pocket and face adversity, you know, crawl out of a hole in Arrowhead and make something happen, and he did that for once. You know, I mean, he's always had these skills. He's always had the big arm. You know, he's always had the mobility. He's always had the vision. He's always had it, but he just hasn't put it together, you know, on a consistent basis. And this game is very telling of what he can do and where he can do it.
Now, one of the stats that people like to throw out is his high completion percentage. And he hovered around 70 for the game. But I want to talk about, just to kind of piggyback off that, he averaged 11.2 yards per attempt. I mean, that's something you don't see ever, especially that you didn't expect. I never expected to see Derek Carr average anywhere over 9 for a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, I want to look back at the interception. When he overthrew Waller, and that interception was, it for me, it kind of signaled that the unspooling was about to happen, but he seemed different. Like, he kind of shook it off. Like, Derek Carr, in some ways, reminds me, I know that you're a boxing fan like I am, Felix Trinidad, mm-hmm. where early, if you get him early and get him on the ground, he's mm-hmm. not going to be the same for the rest of the fight. But if he's able to kind of withstand that early flurry, he has a shot. That's where this is what this game showed me with Derek Carr. I know that's a weird comparison, but I just watched him and Oscar De La Hoya, and it was on my mind. But I'm sorry, I'll go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Now, when we look at Josh Jacobs, and this is, you know, he scored twice, I'm starting to get a little concerned about the amount of touches. He had 23 rushes and but he had, like, 2 catches, so 25 touches again. At what point mm-hmm. do we see Devontae Booker? I know he had 7 carries, but mixing in.
I mean, I think that with that, Josh Jacobs is leading the league right now in attempts. That's the problem. I mean, Devontae Booker showed some glimpses this week. He had some pretty big runs. I think the Raiders are going to start having to find a way to give him 10 to 12 carries a game, because Josh Jacobs is your future investment, and having him burn himself out, especially the way that he runs, and he's averaging 3.3 yards per carry. You know, he's really fighting every play. They're going to have to find a way to get the rest of these guys going, because you definitely don't want to burn him out. That's been an age-old tale for Raiders and running backs. The last thing they need is to trickle down that, you know, and deal with that again with Jacobs, him getting hurt, consistently being hurt.
Because, I mean, it's a concern, because I see when Jacobs has that burst and he has that ability to kind of get that those 6 to 8 yards at a pop, I don't see the explosion like I did in the early part of the season. And I'm hoping that's just him just, you know, shaking that off and kind of just being able to settle in. And Booker showed it on that 43-yard run that he has some quickness. But I want to talk about, speaking of the Booker run, the offensive line, Trent Brown, two questions. One, with Trent Brown, why does it seem like people just always want to come out of their mouth sideways? Like, the man has been hurt. It's not like he's out there, like, not being hurt. He's hurt. But yet, he shows up and he plays well.
I think it's just a matter of the fact that he's so, you know, vocal on social media. You know, a lot of times with the rap lyrics and just talking to people and stuff, I think there's a big disconnect between, you know, athletes and sports fans, in terms of fans feeling like that, you know, the money that somebody else is paying them overshadows everything, and they own these people. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times it's evident fans just think, like, you know, everything's on their time, and that's not the case. And, I mean, Trent Brown is doing things on his terms, and he has the right to do that as long as he comes out and performs what you did this weekend.
Now, when you look at someone like, and I feel as though I am contractually obligated to ask this question because people have already speculated. The Jets released Le'Veon Bell, low-cost free agent deal for like a rest of the season type deal, or should the Raiders just kind of play with what they have?
I mean, I think the immediate answer is that Le'Veon Bell and Josh Jacobs would be one of the most dynamic backfields in the NFL, if not the most. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, it could work, but the matter of will it work, will his attitude be a problem, will Gruden want to even put up with it and take a chance? I mean, it's a lot of variables, but I don't see it personally happening. I think he's personally going to be an Arizona Cardinal, but you know, I mean, we've seen crazier things. Who would have thought that, you know, Antonio Brown would have been a Raider? So, would it work? Yes, but I don't know if it will happen.
That Cardinal, wow, that's a fit. That is a fit. Damn. I mean, if they got him, they'll be causing all of the problems in the NFC West. But getting to the defense, and we have also people made a point to malign Paul Gunther. What is it about the Chiefs where he has these spurts of being able to control them?
Can you say that last part one more time?
What does it seem like it's about the Chiefs where Gunther, for a short sample size, is able to control the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, I think the Raiders, you know, really took advantage of, you know, zone coverage, a lot of deep zone, a lot of cover 4, cover 6, you know, trying to, you know, get in those zones and rely on the guys up front. But to kind of, you know, neutralize the deep threat that was Patrick Mahomes and kind of force their guys up front to get home, and it worked. You know, they were able to get pressure from Tone Jones, from Cleveland Farrell, from Max Crosby, from Arden Key. They were able to get pressure, and that's something that they haven't been able to do in the past. But you know, Nevin Lawson, Trayvon Mullen, those guys, Jeff Heath, those guys really stepped up in coverage.
Now, they actually used Key as a spy, and I mean, he played his part well, and he didn't seem nervous. I think some of the thing with Arden Key is just the fact of getting meaningful snaps, like being able to get meaningful snaps, and he was a vital part of keeping Mahomes in the pocket or somehow, some way, keeping contained, and he did his part. Also, Dayton Jones off of a practice squad. I mean, this is a dude who folks thought he was, for lack of a better term, washed, and he seemed like he gave them quality snaps.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things on a petty note, because this is how we do it, Jeff Schwartz mentioned, you know, he had always something to say about the game and kind of being smart, and somebody retweeted that Max Crosby beat his brother for a sack. Now, with Crosby in year two, from what you've seen over the first five games, what have you seen different that he has brought into his repertoire or how he approaches pass rushing?
I think it's evident that his hands have gotten even better, his get off, but his technique and his hands have shown great improvement. I mean, you know, he was kind of raw last year, but he's definitely coming into his own. He's gotten even stronger, and he's shown that. He's been able to beat some of the strong, you know, really strong tackles over the edge, and, you know, his handwork and his different, you know, moveset has improved. His technique has improved. I think that he's definitely putting a lot of work in the offseason, and it's showing.
Here's just a side note, a weird fact about the Raiders. The Cleveland Browns are the only team to score more points in the AFC.
Wow.
151, and the Browns have scored 156. Now, with everything that's happening well as far as, you know, the defense in the second half, Cleveland Farrell, even you tweeted that he may have had his best game in a very long time. What did you see that stood out?
I mean, he just seemed that his motor was different today. I mean, he started out making plays against the run, and it seemed like it just helped his confidence shoot up, and he started getting into the backfield, but it was just his fight. He was able to put it all together. His fight and his motor, you know, made a lot of those pressures happen and forced Mahomes to either make a bad play or force him into somebody else to create the sack, and then he finally got his. But he was able to fire off the ball and really, you know, get his hands on the man in front of him first, and he was able to make plays all through the game. He was able to force Mahomes into bad situations.
Now, he looked quicker, being able to, you know, come off of his stance better. For every great thing that the defense did in the second half, we got to talk about Corey Littleton. This is the bad run of, yes, he faced a top three tight end, but it just seemed like when Kelsey had the ball or when he was open, Corey Littleton was like three steps behind.
Definitely. He was struggling. I mean, Corey Littleton really hasn't had many good games, if any, this year. I mean, you would think, hey, with the pass rush being a little bit better, he'd look a little bit better, but that wasn't the case. He struggled. He's continued to struggle. I mean, the only thing he has been is healthy. I mean, he's really had a hard time this season.
Now, one thing I did like about the linebacker was seeing Nick Kukowski, you know, being able to read a play where it looked like the ball carrier was past him, but then he read the cutback so he could pretty much smack the ball carrier. The man is smart. He may not be as athletically gifted as Corey Littleton, but it seems like he's fitting the construct of this defense a lot better. Do you agree?
I I'm sorry, you went out just a little bit. Say that one more time.
The Nick Kwiatkowski seemed like he fits the construct of the defense, but he's not as athletically talented as Corey Littleton, but there's just something about the way he plays just fits his defense better early.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely – that's why I feel like they gave him the opportunity to be a captain, to pretty much run the defense through him. He's shown us he's got a really high IQ. He sniffed out a lot of plays, and his smarts have put him in positions that his body couldn't have, and he's made plays because he has great instincts. I mean, it was a couple of plays that he blew up the ball in the backfield on second and third down. You know, he was able to make some smart decisions and take good angles and zone coverage and flying to the ball. I mean, he's an all-around good player, and I think that when, you know, you see the difference now that he's healthy again, and he's only going to continue to blossom through the season and make the Raiders see that they made a good choice in making him a feature back.
Now, as I know that you also tweeted something in the game that, you know, that the want to kind of discuss Trayvon Mullen and how he played well. What did you observe?
I mean, he's just really been a really physical lockdown corner. He's very physical man corner, but he's shown improvement as, you know, as a zone corner. He looked pretty decent in zone. You know, the Raiders haven't done a whole lot of allowing him to travel with receivers and just, you know, press out. But he has shown that when he does get the opportunity, he's one of the better man corners. But he made a lot of plays in zone coverage Sunday. And, you know, especially that Travis Kelce stop, he's just got good instincts. He's able to fly down to the ball in zone coverage. He's got long arms. He's got long limbs. He's very physical. He's a stud. I mean, we just got to see if he's going to keep it up.
Now, I know that we, you know, have a few minutes, but we got to talk about the safeties. I just, at this point in Jonathan Abrams' career being five games, at what point does he, you know, throttle it down a little bit? Because he had a shot that actually kind of stunned Mullen a little bit, and it just, the recklessness.
I mean, I think he is who he is. I mean, he's basically a rookie. He's, you know, he played a half in his first game, and he's really just learning the ropes. A year or so in the system, he might slow down a little bit, but right now, he's still a rookie in my eyes.
That's a fair point. Like, there's so much upside with him. We need to also quickly discuss somebody who doesn't have upside and gets routinely roasted. That's Eric Harris. Do you think that Jeff Heath supplants him for the next little bit?
I mean, I definitely think so, but I definitely think that the Raiders have an opportunity to look in the free agency at least to find somebody to challenge and make it interesting or to trade. But they, you know, as of right now, I think Jeff Heath showed that he can make some plays at times, which he did Sunday, definitely with the interception, but he's a much better option, more polished option than Eric Harris.
Now, before we go, you tweeted out a kind of a first look at the 2021 draft as far as just like names that people might want to kind of keep an eye on. And it may have been the best first draft I've seen ever. Who did you draft and what stuck most about each?
So, I mean, the first pick that I have to draft is Alabama defensive lineman Christian Barmore. I think the Raiders, you know, got something out of Cleveland Farrell. They got a lot out of Max Crosby, and they have been getting a lot out of him over the weeks. But inside, it's still a question mark. You know, Mo Hurst is out. Malik Collins has shown nothing. I mean, Jonathan Hankins is very good against run support, but, you know, they need somebody that can really push into the backfield and, you know, make a difference inside to free up kind of for Crosby and Farrell. So Christian Barmore has been very disruptive for Alabama. He had a great game last week. He can move all around the defensive line, but he's going to make some strides, and he can be a difference maker on the inside for the Raiders. Looking at safeties, Hamza Nasruddin, the guy I thought that would come out last year from Florida State, he didn't. But he's gotten even better. A guy that can really play free safety, a guy that can play money linebacker. He can move around on the field. He's really athletic, fast. He's really smart. He's a hard hitter as well, like Abram. So just a little bit more controlled. Jamie Newman, I think with Carr kind of to be trending up, I think that the Raiders are still going to need a backup quarterback or a future plan, but they just don't have to go so early. And I think that Jamie Newman is a really good dual threat quarterback that, you know, fits kind of what Gruden wants. He can run the offense if it comes down to it. He definitely has potential to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Fourth round, I had Charles Snowden, who's a linebacker for Virginia. The Raiders have Week and Mike of the Future and Nick Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton. But they don't really have a good Sam, and I think that they need that. They need somebody that's athletic, that can set the edge, somebody that can play coverage underneath, zone coverage underneath, somebody athletic enough to, you know, keep up with a tight end or a running back every now and then. Somebody that's really good at run support, very good at run support, and Snowden is that. And then lastly, Jack Anderson, the guard from Texas Tech, former five-star recruit, really, really solid player. He can move around on the interior line as well, but Richie Incognito's getting older, and they're going to have to address that position soon, so you have somebody that they can put into place.
Now, if folks want to, you know, interact with you on social media and see the content, how can they interact with you?
So my Twitter is NFL Malik, M-A-L-I-I-K. And YouTube is Malik Obi's Football for Fanatics. I got some videos and content that I put on YouTube. And, you know, yeah, you can catch me on Twitter.
One of the best followers on Twitter is my man Malik Obi. To follow us, to read our stuff, you can log on to fullpresscoverage.com/Raiders or on social media at @FPC_Raiders. This has been an episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other. Good night.